From WBUR in Boston, it's Weekly Warm-Up, a sampling of the cornucopia of stories and interviews featured on Only a Game, sports public radio style.
Support for NPR podcasts comes from Acura, featuring the all-new turbocharged Acura RDX with available voice-activated navigation. More at acura.com/RDX.
Only a Game is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
Babe Ruth may have been the most accomplished baseball player of all time. His home run records have fallen, but nobody who has surpassed him as a slugger has also succeeded as a pitcher. Ruth was a terrific pitcher before he convinced his employer, the New York Yankees, that he'd be even more useful to them playing every day. Ty Cobb was the most accomplished player of the game before Ruth altered it with his home runs. Cobb won games for the Tigers by punching the ball past infielders, stealing bases, and intimidating the opposition. He liked to distract Ruth by holding his nose and claiming that Babe smelled bad. In researching the lives of the two men for his new book, Ty and the Babe, Tom Stanton found that Cobb had been badly served by history, which has been much kinder to Ruth. I began our conversation by asking Tom Stanton what the two men had against each other when both were still active as ballplayers.
Cobb was the master of the dead ball era. He was king of the sport when Ruth emerged in 1914 with the Red Sox and then faced Cobb for the first time in 1915. Cobb was 28 years old, had won the American League batting title 8 years straight, had all the big endorsement deals, and along comes Ruth, who a few seasons later would begin to change the game and introduce into it the popularity of the home run, and then it just kind of revolutionized the sport. And so what did they have against each other? Well, in Cobb's case, it was that somebody was altering the game, the way it was played, and stealing the spotlight from him. In Ruth's case, I guess what he had against Cobb was the way Cobb treated him, because Cobb was a psychological warrior. And he picked at Ruth. He learned early on that there was this embarrassing moment in Ruth's career when he was first a rookie with the Red Sox, where after playing ferociously on the field one day after coming back in the locker room, took a shower, and then returned to his original sweaty underwear and T-shirt. And Cobb took that tidbit and ran with it for the next 8-10 years. Every time he'd pass Ruth, he'd make a reference to a smell, or he'd clear his throat, or kick at the sand. And it, as you can imagine, it began to irritate Babe.
Cobb brilliantly represented a particular approach to baseball. He bunted. He stole bases, including home. And for a long time, he regarded the home run as kind of a novelty. Ruth, on the other hand, made the long ball his signature statement. What were some of the other ways in which these two men were different from one another?
They were radically different in terms of their personalities and their backgrounds. Ruth came from the urban Northeast. He was Catholic. He was the son or the grandson of German immigrants. Cobb lived in America's family. He had lived in America for many generations, grew up in the rural South, was Baptist. Cobb's father was an educated man who served as a state senator, school superintendent, could speak Greek and Latin. And Ruth's father was a saloon keeper who really didn't have the patience to deal with him and put him in an orphanage where he spent many years. And what they had in common, in addition to the baseball talent, was that both of them lost their fathers early in life. Ruth's father died in a street fight after Ruth had made it to the major leagues. Cobb's father died, shot by his wife, before Cobb had made it to the major leagues, and it was one of the great motivating forces in his life.
You specify that the 1925 World Series was an occasion when Ruth and Cobb moved toward actual friendship. What were the circumstances that made that possible?
You know, there were a few factors. I think a lot had to do with people surrounding them. They were both friends of Grantland Rice, the sports writer, and I think he was an influence toward bringing them together. There was Christy Walsh, who was the famous agent of Ruth and also of Cobb for a short while. And in the 24 series, he had conspired to get the two of them to share a taxi ride to the ballpark in Washington. The old rivalry started to melt a little bit then. But mostly, I think, in addition to those two folks, it was somebody that Ruth was having a relationship with, Claire Hodgson. She had grown up in the South, and her father was an attorney who had represented Ty Cobb. And way back before she had met Babe, who was married at the time, she had dated Ty Cobb. And I think it was kind of interesting that these two great rivals actually, at different points, were involved with the same woman.
This is the sort of circumstance that could go either way. I mean, you're saying it was part of what drew them together, but...
I think it was more Claire's doing, trying to convince Babe, perhaps, that he wasn't such a bad guy. And another key thing, though, was I think Cobb had started to respect Ruth and to see that he was not just a one-dimensional ball player.
And that was not a one-way street either. Ruth, although he was the home run hitter rather than the small ball player, had a great amount of respect for Cobb.
It turned out that way. And if he didn't, he was certainly reminded by the experts in the game. His own manager admitted that Cobb was a better player than Ruth. He was a baseball scientist, and that's what the insiders appreciated at that time. Home runs were viewed as faddish, as something that might just pass within a few years.
Hasn't quite turned out that way, has it?
No.
This summer being the summer of Barry Bonds.
No, that's certainly true. And actually, if you just look at baseball as a whole, even though there are people who play small ball, it's not really a Cobb's brand. I think Ruth had a much greater impact in terms of the way the game is played today.
Most of our listeners probably think of Ty Cobb as a sociopath or worse. And in Ty and the Babe, you maintain that this characterization is utterly unfair. How so?
It's a caricature. It's a stereotype, and it's just become more shined as the years pass. Cobb was a multidimensional person. Many people think he, for example, had no friends. This guy had friends in baseball, actually. He was... of his peers at the time, Tris Speaker, Joe Jackson. I mean, he used to play poker frequently with Walter Johnson. He'd go hunting with Eddie Collins. He had friends in the game, and so that's one of the great misconceptions, I believe. But, for example, I talked with Ernie Harwell, who was a longtime Tiger broadcaster, and he had met both of the men and asked him who he'd rather spend an hour with. And he said, without any hesitation, Ty Cobb. He found Ruth very blustery, sometimes belligerent, and Cobb was a sophisticated, articulate man who could be a real Southern gentleman. One of the things that you always hear about Cobb is that he was a racist, and unfortunately, there's no denying that. But I think sometimes he's the scapegoat for baseball's racism. You have to take people within the context of their time, and Ruth really wasn't that much different from a whole lot of other people playing baseball at that time. To kind of taint him as the racist in baseball is unfair.
A lot of what people feel and think they understand about Ty Cobb, of course, came from Al Stump's article and later his biography and then from the movie based on that book. At the end of his life, Cobb was, in fact, in serious trouble. He was alcoholic. He was very ill. Irascible would be a kind description of him, but I gather only really at the end.
Yeah, he was never an easy person throughout his life to get along with. And I don't doubt that Stump accurately captured some of what Cobb was about at the end of his life. You have to keep in mind, though, as you mentioned, that he was not only dying, was not only an alcoholic, he had buried two of his sons. By that point, he was a bitter guy at the end, but there was a whole lot more to him throughout his lifetime. And you often hear the comparison of the two funerals, that when Babe Ruth died, all of New York turned out, the city stopped, everybody came to Yankee Stadium. And then you hear on the other hand that when Cobb died, his funeral in Royston, there were only three baseball players who attended. And, it's kind of unfair to bring it up that way. If they'd held Cobb's funeral at Tiger Stadium, there would have been tens of thousands of people, but his family wanted a small affair, and most of his friends were gone by that point anyway.
In 1941, long after Cobb and Ruth had retired, they played a best 2 out of 3 golf match against each other. This is something I never knew until I read your book. Neither of these guys was all that great a golfer. Why did so many people care so much who won?
Both of them have been out of the spotlight. You had these two fading titans who were going to go at it once again. And for fans who had remembered their rivalry on the field, which, stretched through parts of 14 seasons, for fans who remembered how vicious and how serious that was in the sport, there was an appeal to this tournament. And Cobb had proposed it in 1939 when both of them were at the Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Mm-hmm. He passed a note to Ruth challenging him, and Ruth had arranged for a game to be played within 2 days because Cobb was taking his family to New York, but Cobb backed out, realizing that he hadn't prepared for this. And, you know, it would be another 2 years before it happened. Cobb was kind of tricked into proposing the game while he was at the Masters in 1941. And finally they did it. It was a three-leg tournament.
Three-legged tournament. And Cobb eventually won it by winning the third of the matches, pretty much by taking the same scientific approach to golf that he had taken to baseball, right?
He was never unprepared. Cobb, at the final match, had arranged in advance to hire as his caddy the son of the golf pro, the grandson of Wilfred Reed, who was part of that greatest golf match ever. And he took notes on the courses and studied his notes, and he was ready.
Is it fair to say that winning the golf match was more important to Ty Cobb than it was to Babe Ruth?
Probably it was. But it's interesting in that I think it was also important to Ty Cobb. I found evidence of him checking his normal tense behavior to try to maintain a friendship, because I think by that point he really cherished Babe Ruth.
In one of the sadder lines in Ty and Babe, you quote Ty Cobb as saying, "People tell me I was the greatest player who ever lived, and maybe I am as far as the way I played baseball, but I wish I could have been more like the Babe." What did Ty Cobb mean by that?
Yeah, Babe had a kind of a natural charm about him, and I think Cobb envied that. It was his popularity, it was the way people reacted to him, the way he could be loose and kind of giving in situations. When you got Cobb on a field, there was one thing in his mind, and it was winning. And he would contend that he only did that in a way that was fair, but nonetheless, that was the goal, his sole goal. Not that Ruth wasn't competitive. It was just a different brand of competitiveness. I think he wishes he had been a little more free and easy, that he had that kind of personality.
The great irony, of course, was that Ruth, with all the looseness and camaraderie that you're talking about, played on teams that won all the time, and Cobb, with that fierce competitive nature, never won.
Yeah, he was in three World Series early in his career when he was 20, 21, and 22, and he was showing up in those cases. He was a young man, and that probably added to the resentment he felt toward Babe, because here was this guy who was not only changing the game, he also, you know, before age 30, had a whole bunch of World Series rings.
Tom Stanton is the author of Ty and the Babe, Baseball's Fiercest Rivals, A Surprising Friendship, and the 1941 Has-Beens Golf Championship, published by St. Martin's Press. Tom, thanks very much for joining me.
Oh, thanks for having me, Bill.
My conversation with Tom Stanton will be featured in this week's program. I'll also be talking with our hockey expert, Helene Elliott, since we've reached the finals in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Only a Game's Karen Given will have a story about some fly fishermen and fisherwomen who practice their passion in a spot where there's no danger that anybody will catch an actual fish. We'll have a story about the surprisingly successful Milwaukee Brewers as well, and we'll hear from some of you who've recently emailed us, including one listener who seems to be channeling Emily Liddella. So join us, and remember, you can always hear the program at onlyagame.org.